Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here. It's incredible that I didn't know what today's show was. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Delaware, Robbie, if Brupolo is in West Fulton.
Not East Fulton.
No, not just regular Fulton. There's Fulton and there's West Fulton, the Twin Cities.
Okay. So is Fulton East? Is it the east side?
Well, I mean, it's I don't know. I'm just saying it's
the regular Fulton is east.
There's Fulton and then there's West Fulton. Much as there's Carrollton and there's North Carrollton, also known as the Twin Cities.
That's right.
So wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew each and every morning. It's just a click away. Strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. My guy's over there. He's scouting out new locations. I don't know if he's going to get one while he's in Japan, but the rumor mill is hot that a new Strange Brew location is going to be opening up very soon. Will it be in this state? Will he continue his expansion east into Alabama? I don't know the answer to that. But when we find out, you know full well we'll tell you here on Thunder and Lightning. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Simply put, to get customers in the door, you need a plan, and Pip Printing and Signs can help you execute that plan. If you're a business owner and you're a Mississippi State fan, spending money on printing is part of your monthly expenses. Why not spend that same money and help the Bulldog Initiative at the same time? It won't cost you an extra cent. You just got to talk to my friend Camden Baker over at Pip Printing and Signs. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. 10% of whatever business you do with him goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. That's a can't-miss deal, in my opinion. So call Camden today and get the power of Pip Printing and Signs behind your business. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And I know you're looking for it. It's time. It's time to get some new stuff into your closet. It's time to replace the banner rim with the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. Before we get to football season, you need to upgrade your wardrobe. Mississippi State's upgrading. You need to upgrade as well. College Corner can help you do that. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. It's Restaurant Tyler. I'm going to assume there were a lot of mothers at Restaurant Tyler on Sunday. I hope that they all had a fine and happy Mother's Day. And if somebody in their life was nice enough and loved them enough to take them to Restaurant Tyler, I'm just going to have to assume that they did. But any day can be like that. Take the person you love to Restaurant Tyler. That tells them, hey, I actually do love you because I took you to Restaurant Tyler. I mean, when Robbie suggests, he's like, hey, Dad, you want to go eat lunch today? You want to go to Restaurant Tyler? I know that Robbie loves me and wants me to be happy. So it's just as simple as that. Go to Restaurant Tyler. It's for love. There you go. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. PriorityOneBank.com. You can find the location nearest you. You can search for the financial services those branches are going to offer you. If you think you're just walking into one of those old-timey community banks that only has checking and savings accounts, you're going to be wrong. You're going to be pleasantly surprised when you see what Priority One Bank can do for your money. But most importantly, what you're going to like about Priority One Bank is that when you have a question, it's not a process to get a human being on the phone, or at least one that, you know, knows anything. It's an easier thing because they maintain that small town feel despite offering you all these great financial services just like the big corporate banks do. 16 locations means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. You sent something in the group text just a minute ago. Did you want to repeat what you said?
Probably not.
Okay, great. Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the theme of today's podcast, I was thinking about, you know, whenever, before we do podcasts, Robbie, let you into my brain a little bit here. I try to think of what I'm going to title the podcast. And I try to work what I want to talk about around that title. I don't know if that makes sense. That's just my process. And the thing that came up to me was haunted, right? Mississippi State haunted by missed opportunities. And that has been the story of this season. Now, let's look at it. We'll start off from the nuts and bolts view of it, right? State had to get one game this weekend. They got one game. They remain in the hosting discussion. They played. You saw some guys step up this weekend in Connor Hizak's absence. You saw Ethan Pulliam have a huge day on Sunday. Amani Larry was able to get on pace a few times. I thought Aaron Downs did a good job putting the ball in play a few times. Kyle Steven was Kyle Steven. You know, they battled through what I would call a subpar start from Gerangelo. They did some good things this weekend, and they got the win they absolutely had to have. But just like at Florida, and just like with Ole Miss, and just like with Alabama, and in some ways, you know, like it was against Texas A&M, and in some ways like the Saturday game against LSU, missed opportunities. State could have not only a hosting spot done and dusted at this point, they could have that national seed done and dusted at this point. That could be completely locked up if they just held on to leads that they had or didn't make the mistakes that they make. You said something Saturday night when we were watching the game. I know I couldn't be there. You know, I guess we all wanted to take a picture. I guess y'all are just embarrassed that I was there. It's fine. But you made a good point when you said State's opponents haven't beaten State all year. State loses these games. They give these games away. You can almost every single one, like the Sunday game at Ole Miss, okay, you got your ass kicked in that game, all right? You lost that one, right? Maybe one of the games.
I just don't think that happens if you take care of business on Saturday.
I agree, but just in the context of the game itself, you can't, I mean, they got a run rule. You can't say anything. But it feels like every other loss, I can circle where the game got away from State, and it's because State did something, not the opponent did something. And that's what this season has been. This team is, let me double-check the record. I think they're 32-18. Is that correct? Do you know if I'm right?
33, I think.
Let's see here. Is this updated? They're 33-18. They could, without me having to rationalize a whole lot, be 38-12 or 38-13. And if that were the case, they would probably be in the top five of the RPI.
And that's still counting some games you should have won.
Yeah, I'm not even giving you all. If I gave them all, they're like 42-7 or whatever.
So you could take half of the games they should have won in SEC play that they lost,
mm-hmm.
and this team would be in position to win the SEC West, to compete for the SEC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
If you take half of the games that they lost that they could have won.
All true.
They have lost eight games. Eight of their 12 losses this season have been winnable ball games, I would say. You could probably stretch that to nine. I could probably stretch that to games out of 12.
I would tell you that even in the LSU game, the Saturday game where they fell behind early, where they come back and they have the base, they had a base running error that cost them a run that was going to tie the game. Obviously, at Florida, they had the lead in the ninth inning in both games on Friday. At Ole Miss, they had the lead in the eighth and then had the lead in the 10th and then had the lead in the 11th and gave it away each and every time.
Georgia.
I mean, that the fracas that happened, you can't – but, I mean
– but if that doesn't happen, State doesn't happen, probably wins that game because they had all the momentum.
And that happened because something State did. I mean, whether you want to do it or not, Johnny Long caused all.
If that doesn't happen, then nobody gets tossed.
If Johnny Long tags him out and goes to the dugout, State wins the game. And then you have Alabama, again, the score makes you think, what are we talking about? But watch the game. State is the reason. You know, Alabama didn't do anything special in that game. So it's just a painful existence here. And then this series – State had the lead on Friday going into the ninth. They gave it away. They were up 6-0 in this game, and they give it away. And you can find different reasons for everything, right? One game, they make an error. Another game is they can't get the clutch hit, or they screw up, have a base running error, or then it's the pitching. This team is so close to being really, really, really good, like really good, but they just lack a few things here and there. Now, some of that is on recruiting. I mean, I don't know what Scott Foxhall was doing the last two or three years, but he wasn't doing much. He must have just been sitting in his office playing PlayStation all day. Because State has, you look at State's bullpen versus Arkansas's bullpen, and it's like men versus boys. Arkansas is just trotting out all these guys. They're throwing 97, 98. Their breaking stuff is unhittable. And State's got guys who, you know, they're competing, I'll give them that. But for the most part, they're throwing 91, 92. And it's just not the same. It's like a different caliber of talent. It's tough. And again, at the end of the day, they got the win they had to have. But Robbie, when we look back at this season, I'm going to make an assumption that they aren't going to win the national championship. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, you can roast me. I don't care. But when we look back at this season, it is going to be a season where we're like, gosh, this team, they could have been a lot better.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, like, and the people that come out like, what you pick? Why are you people so upset? We play hard. We do this and this. We're way better than we were last year. That's such a loser mentality. And I promise you that Chris Lemonis doesn't like the way that they're losing or the fact that they're letting these games go. He's pissed about it. He's talked about it. And a lot of it falls on him. The team is not well coached in those situations. They don't make the plays that they need to make to win these ball games. It's little bitty things that's losing them these games. And that falls to me on coaching. This team has not done that well now for 3 years in a row. And we've talked about that. I know some people have taken shots at us for telling it like it is because we didn't go to fall practices or whatever. I mean, what are we saying that's incorrect at this point? This team doesn't do the things that it needs to do to win these kind of games. And I said this on Thursday when we talked about this series, or Friday whenever we recorded, when we talked about this series, I said, if Mississippi State wants to win this series, they have to clean that up because Arkansas will do the little things. And they did. Arkansas walked a ton of guys this weekend. That's kind of something that is not really their thing. They're a strike-throwing team. They don't walk guys at the high rate that they did this weekend, but they didn't let that beat them. They made the defensive plays. They beat Mississippi State when State made a mistake. And you look at the stat sheet, and it says 37 runners left on base in three games for Mississippi State. 37.
That's crazy number there.
State had the ability to beat this team in all three games. They got one win, and that's – listen, we said coming in this weekend State had to win a game. They did it. That's the frustrating thing about this team. They're doing just enough. They're doing what we say they have to do, but they're not going the extra mile. They're not getting that extra win that's going to make up for another game that they lost along the way. That's the problem with this team. And the people that right now are upset at the negative things that are being said, you're going to be mad when this team gets paired with, you know, a team out west in the super regional or something like that. You're going to be upset about that. That could have been in Mississippi State's hands. That was Mississippi State's to lose. State could be a national seed right now. They could have easily 19 wins in SEC play. And I can argue for more. With one weekend to go against quite right, possibly the worst team in the league, this team should have won 20-plus SEC games, and they're not going to get it. No. Now, I think that you do have to talk about the progress that this team's made, and it's been good. The fact that we can sit here and say Mississippi State's costing itself these games is certainly an upgrade from where they were the last 2 years when they're getting run-ruled. I mean, going to the number five team in the country, and let's be honest, that's a very difficult place to play. Only three teams have beaten them all season long. Nobody's won a series against them there. They've lost three games at home the entire year. They have not lost a Friday night game. State having a chance to win that game was a miracle in itself, you know, when you look at the numbers. But it's just the fact that I look at this team, and the reason why I might come across negative about this because I can see the potential of this team and they're not reaching it. And that's a frustrating thing when you know that you have the ability to do it and they just can't do it, and it's the same stuff over and over. It's striking out looking with two strikes when you have to battle at the plate and you're watching a pitch right down the pipe and people are sitting here blaming umpires. You can't put that in the umpire's hands. It's not keeping a tag down at second base. It's coming off the bag. It's base running errors. It's dropping a ball in the outfield. So many things that this team just doesn't do well that you have to do well to compete for championships. And Mississippi State has this expectation that has been set where championships are the standard, competing for championships are the standard. Or you have to ask yourself, if you're getting upset at people for suggesting that this isn't good, do you want to compete for championships? Are you serious about watching baseball and winning games? That's kind of my thought on it all. I mean, because right now, Mississippi State is not reaching its standard. There's so much more that it can obtain. And the season's not over. They're certainly still in really good position here. I think if they win the series against Missouri, they should be a host. The bubble, you would call it, for hosting is fairly weak for the most part. State should, I think, they should get a hosting spot if they win the series. Sweeping it will lock it up. So it certainly will be a massive step back in the right direction if State can do that. But then after that, I mean, you're sitting here saying, well, if they just could have done this and this, they'd be a national seed. They've cost themselves something. We'll see what that is.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch, you know, with State, in that if they sweep next weekend and finished 18-12, A&M is playing, as we're recording before the Ole Miss A&M game has finished up, obviously. A&M's 16-10. Let's say they win tonight, because that seems fair, right? But they could easily get swept by Arkansas, and State could get a bye in the SEC tournament. They would be second in the West. I want to read this stat here that was just tweeted by our senior officiating correspondent, Bill Reno. If you're scoring at home, the most you can strand in a three-game series without extra innings is 81. State stranded 37. So nearly half of the potential runners they could have stranded, that's leaving the bases loaded every inning. State did that. They left enough. You talk about leaving meat on the bone. They didn't eat. They left the whole steak on the plate. That is an incredible.
You lost the series by a combined 5 runs.
Mm-hmm.
You left 37 on the bases. That's like 2, maybe 3 hits for Mississippi State with those runners in scoring position or on base. If you could have just got 2 or 3 more hits with those runners on base, we're talking completely differently at this point. That's the difference for Mississippi State between being a great team right now and just an okay team.
Yeah.
A team that's just going to – that slips in as a host or something like that. That's the difference for Mississippi State this year. And they've got to be better. They've absolutely got to be better. I think this team's playing better baseball. The offense has certainly seen an uptick. I think, other than the outcome of the weekend, the fact that they got 37 runners stranded against this pitching staff is impressive. They scored 5 or more runs in all 3 games against the best pitching staff quite possibly in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's what we're talking about. It's just the frustration of it is like it was right there at your fingertips to get it, and they just couldn't get it.
Very tough weekend for Mississippi State. This season has been good, but not great. That has just been my opinion. This is a good Mississippi State team. It is not a great Mississippi State team. It's like 2 or 3 pieces away. And look, Logan Kohler is starting to come around a little bit. You saw what happened with Ethan Pulliam. Aaron Downs, and he came out injured at the end of the game. But I thought, for a guy who probably didn't realize he was going to start until maybe Friday, came in and gave you some quality at bats, got on base, and did something I enjoy, which is he just swung the bat and put the ball into play. Not a lot of looking at strike. I need something. I asked a couple weeks ago for some baseball expertise. I'm going to ask for it again. because I didn't ever play baseball, so I come at things sometimes from a position of ignorance. But the last at bat of the game, Powell sitting there with two strikes. You're down three. How on earth can you not swing if the pitch is remotely close? I mean, if you swing and miss, you swung and miss. But to look at strike three in that situation, to me, so coaches, I'm asking you, like, what? Talk me through what the thought process there is. And Dakota Jordan did it on Friday night. You know, a chance to have a big hit, and you just look at strike three, and it's like, hey, Dakota's at bat, I want to say, in the bottom of the eighth, he didn't even swing. Not one time. He could have gone to the plate without the bat in his hand. Drives me nuts. And I just don't get it. But that's, man, I didn't ever play baseball. And so if I'm wrong, I'm just wrong. But I don't think that I'm wrong. So State now on the season, sitting, like I said, 33-18, 15-12 in the conference. RPI hasn't updated from yesterday yet. They had bumped up to 15. I can't imagine they would drop much, if any, as a result of this. And some results have gone State's way this weekend. South Carolina this weekend, did they get swept or did they just – yeah, they got swept by Georgia. Gosh, they gave up double-digit runs in every game, Robbie. 14-10, 11-5, 14-6. Georgia's red hot right now. They're up to 2 in the RPI. But South Carolina has jumped out of the hosting picture. They won't be hosting. Alabama's RPI sits at 11, but they're 12-15 in the conference. They're not going to be hosting. So State's chances of hosting are still very, very good. They just have to take care of their business against Missouri next weekend. Auburn is officially eliminated, and if Ole Miss wins tonight, so if you listen, you'll know this. If Ole Miss wins, Missouri is eliminated, and that means Ole Miss would be locked into Hoover at the and they would be going to the SEC tournament. And then I guess next week their series with LSU would maybe determine some seeding there. As it sits right now, so what is Georgia in the conference right now? They're 16-11. So they're a game ahead. So as it sits right now, State Ole Miss would not play that first game. State would be the 6-11 game, I believe. Florida, so here's something interesting. I don't know if you noticed this. Florida lost today. They lost their series to Kentucky. They're now 26-25. They don't have a midweek this week. If they lose their series to Georgia this weekend, they finish the season 27-27. It means they have to win two games in Hoover to go to the NCAA tournament, because you have to be above 500. If I'm Florida, dude, I'm calling like Florida A&M or Bethune-Cookman or somebody like that and be like, we'll pay you $500,000. Come play us until Tuesday. Because you need to win. You need to get another.
They're not playing anybody?
No, they don't have a midweek game. Nobody has midweek games. Well, I take it back. Ole Miss State, is another one.
State does.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So I guess it's just Florida then. I don't know. Maybe this is their finals week. I don't know. The other thing with Ole Miss is 27-23. They play today. So let's say they lose, right? I could be wrong. As you're listening, they may have already won and swept Texas A&M, which would be incredible. If they lose, they're 27-24. They play USM on Wednesday. If they lose that game, then they're 27-25. They would have to somehow win. They'd have to win the series against LSU just to be safe. Because if you go to Hoover a game or at 500 or a game above 500 and you lose the first one, you're out. So
if they win 13, they're probably in the tournament.
Well, they have 11 right now, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
winning the series at LSU
would probably be enough. But again, you're not eligible if you're not over 500. So they got to be over 500. That's the key for them. So if they win the series, I guess they're okay. But if they lose the series, they're in trouble.
If they win the series, they'll be in regardless, because they'll be above 500 and they'll be at 13 wins. And their metrics are going to be good enough.
I mean, if they win today, especially, gosh. But beating LSU, LSU's RPI is up to 34. They lost today. They lost 2 out of 3 to Alabama. So, Robbie, I was wrong again. As it sits right now, Ole Miss is the 11. LSU is the 12. LSU is a game back of Ole Miss. So, again, State would still be playing Ole Miss. But LSU and Ole Miss play each other this weekend, so that'll all shake itself out. So, should be a very interesting final weekend in the SEC. A lot on the line for just about everybody. One thing I wanted to say before we go, I was thinking about regionals, Robbie. State's only swept twice this weekend, this year, right? Once was against Mount St. Mary's, who is currently, I think, 287. Let me double check that. They are, where are you, Mount St. Mary's? I saw you earlier. They're 288 in the RPI. Their other sweep was against Auburn, who is, I believe, 7-20 in the SEC. Those are the only two sweeps they've had this year. I mean, I just don't know, man. If State has to play a fourth game in a regional setting, I just don't know. I just don't think they have the pitching depth. They got to be perfect, and they really, in those regional games, need to be able to not pitch Tyler Davis and Tyson Harden. I know Harden got roughed up a little bit, but he came back on Sunday and pitched pretty well. But that's another thing, too, is State, I mean, why there in the middle of the game do you go to Gavin Black? I mean, if Harden was available, you got to go to Harden there and let him try to, you know, go with the guy who's been more reliable. And I don't, going to Ligon there, it just didn't work. And just some bad.
Well,
game was just Ligon's, bad all around after it was 6-0.
Ligon was, I mean, it was okay to go to him. He had a 6-1 lead, and you need him to kind of help you at some. These guys have got to help you at some point. It's whenever it got to 6-4 that I wouldn't have brought in Gavin Black. He hasn't been in that position. I think that he can. I think he can be good in time.
Yeah,
and he showed some good things against Alabama last week. But you're bringing him in a position where Arkansas is gaining
lead, not a
right. Yeah. But Arkansas is gaining momentum. Your offense has slowed down. You need to shut it down right there. They did it last night.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job with Brooks Auger in the middle innings. Auger came in, shut it down.
Yeah,
and then you had Tyler Davis right behind him. So you killed their momentum, but you kind of gave them that comes out and walks the leadoff guy. If you look back at those four straight innings where they scored, State walked three guys, mm-hmm. I think, and hit another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And three of those, I think, was to lead off an inning. And then you had the two-out walk that led to a two-run home run. Every single free base they gave up during that stretch scored. And then you had, a leadoff hit batter in the fourth inning by Pico, threw a wild pitch, and it ended up scoring a run. It's that, again, it's those little bitty mistakes that Mississippi State makes that turns into big mistakes. Leadoff walks, two-out walks, wild pitches, not making a play on defense. It's just it constantly kills this team.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like you said, like the team, it's just not really set up for, a game four or something. But like I've always said, I've seen way worse pitching staffs go out there and win regionals after getting to the loser's bracket. So, I mean, I'll never say that they can't do it, but it's just not conducive for this team to be able to go out there and win a regional like that.
Yeah.
So they're in trouble if they get into that position. It's one of those deals like they really need to win like that first game and get into a good position there. But like this is a very fragile bullpen. Even the guys you really count on have had a couple of tough outings. Tyson Harden the other night wasn't great. Against Arkansas on Friday, couldn't hold the lead or whatever it was at the time. Maybe been tied up. I can't remember. But
they had the lead.
Okay. So yeah, it's just there's still a lot of issues with this team. I think there's a lot of potential with this team, but there's still a lot of issues.
Real quick before we change subjects here, every time I check the RPI, I check one thing, and it's the bottom. Poor Maryland Eastern Shore. 305 in RPI, Robbie. They are 0-45 on the season.
That's unfathomable.
It's a baseball. How in baseball do you not get one game? And they had a three-game set canceled with the team that's like 252, so maybe they could have gotten a win there, but they're 0-45.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef is what's for dinner. Hope you guys have enjoyed some beef this weekend. Hope you guys, I know at least one of our listeners did. Kenny Manning gave us a tweet and had some fine-looking steaks on the grill. Hope you cooked mom a nice juicy steak for Mother's Day. And if you didn't, well, shame on you. Do it this weekend. Tell her, hey, honey, I screwed up. Let's have some steaks this weekend. She'll forgive you. Women are very forgiving. They forget and forgive all the time. Right, Robbie?
Yeah, happens all the time.
All the time.
Very forgettable.
What? everybody will forgive you if you cook them a great steak. That's just at least that's my philosophy. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I mean, we were there, what were we there, Thursday? And you're not gonna believe it. Another great meal at Two Brothers. Saw a lot of good people up in there. Saw some of our local friends. Saw some people we, you know, maybe from another school. You know, somebody who covers another school was there. And he was like, well, you guys talk about it all the time, so I had to come check it out. Even the Rebels are moved by our talking about Two Brothers Smoked Meats. So you should be too. Head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and enjoy some smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it. They deliver to Advantage Business Systems. Been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of making sure that what they sell you, that they can serve it after the sale. That they can take care of it if something goes wrong. And a lot of times they can take care of it the same day. You think about dealing with a big box company or dealing with, you know, somebody like Amazon and something goes wrong. Good luck. All right, you might as well just buy a new one at that point. It'll be a lot less headache and a lot less hassle. Not the case with Advantage Business Systems. They're going to back you up. They'll be able to take care of you long after they make you that sale. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. I was talking about it earlier. You know, it's a new day at Mississippi State, a new era, a new identity. Be a part of that, and you need to start with a trip to Maroon & Co. When you come to Starkville, before you head to the game, you need to head to Maroon & Co. Grab yourself a new polo, a new hat, a new T-shirt, something that shows the identity that is Mississippi State in 2024, not 2004. That's how I'm looking at things. They've got a great selection of Maroon & Co. stuff you cannot get anywhere else. Use the promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. And check them out. Before you go to Duty Noble this weekend, you need to head to Maroon & Co.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
Well, Jeff Lebby seems to have wrapped up the roster at this point, Robbie. Montre Miller has made his commitment to Mississippi State, cornerback out of West Virginia, prior at Kent State. This is it, right? That's got to be the last guy unless something unusual happens between now and then, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, the numbers just don't really match up to them being able to add anybody else. I don't think that there's a way to add any more scholarship guys, at least by my count. I could be wrong on that. I don't see any other scholarships available. And I don't know who all, you know, every now and then walk-ons get scholarships and some of them come on and off of it, so I don't really know exactly. But I think that's probably going to be it for them.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. So, and if nothing else, Robbie, they got a guy from a Power 5 program that was going to compete for a starting position at his previous program. They just needed another cornerback. They needed somebody in that room who had a little bit of production, that it was proven just a little bit, and Miller gives them that. There's no sugarcoating what this defensive portal class was for Mississippi State. It's going State. What you're going to have to see is the guys that were already on campus. I think, you know, I think that Kapaka and Bingley Jones are going to make an impact. Obviously, Stone Blanton's going to make an impact. But by and large, the story of State's defensive season is going to be told by the guys that they signed out of high school, the Russell brothers, John Lewis, Ty Cooper, Trevion Williams, Calvin Dinkins. Guys like that they're, you know, Bryce Pollock, Kelly Jones back there, and Corey Ellington. Those are the guys that if State's going to be better than we expect on defense, it's going to have to be those guys that step up for Mississippi State because they just didn't land what I would consider a true difference maker in the portal.
No, they didn't. I think that the ceiling is there for this guy. I mean, but he was injured last year and didn't get a chance to really break out there at West Virginia, but we don't know. I mean, how is he going to come back from the injury? I don't know. Is he ready to roll? Is he ready for this level? We'll see. On paper, he looks like a good pickup for Mississippi State and better than a lot of the guys that they already have on campus. But it still is. I mean, you've added a relative unknown situation to a secondary that is relatively unknown at this point and unproven. So it's just, I mean, we'll see, I guess. But again, I'm just not overly concerned with the defense this year. I don't look at it and say, like, it kind of is what it is at this point. Yeah. They're not going to add anybody else. So I don't look at it and say, like, this defense has the potential to be really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, if it's good, if it's better than we think, then that's a pleasant surprise.
Right.
If it isn't, then you and I are already prepared.
Yeah.
That Mississippi State's going to be in some shootouts this year.
This is what we always say. Pessimist is never disappointed.
Exactly.
So if it happens, it happens.
My thing has been since we kind of noticed Mississippi State had no traction with defensive players back in December, January, whenever it was. My thing has always been try to get as many playmakers as you can on offense
mm-hmm.
and see how many points you can score.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely the philosophy.
You can reassess this thing next year. Maybe you can have a better showing in the portal or in high school recruiting or whatever. But I just don't look at this defense and have a ton of confidence with it. So my thought process is going into this offseason, into the fall camp that's going to be coming up in a few months, is try to make this offense as powerful as it can possibly be in year one to hold your head above water. And then go on from there in year two, because they could not get traction on the defensive side of the ball in the portal. It was wild. I can't even explain how it happened, because they were making headway with guys on the offensive side of the ball, and for whatever reason, it just never came about on defense for hardly anybody. I mean, Stone Blanton I thought was a good pickup for him, and I still think Miller could be too, but it was very difficult for them to try to make some headway on that side of the ball, so it just kind of, to me, just came across as a lost cause this time around.
There it is. So we'll see what happens. But at least now we know the roster is intact. All right, before we get out of here, two little bits of good news. Robbie, let's try to pull a smile face. First off, tomorrow's show is our first SEC preview of the offseason. We will talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide. So that should be a very exciting talk, because we've never gone into a season not just shaking our hands, wet washing our hands of it and saying, well, 11-1, 12-0, done. We got some real debate to have tomorrow on that. So that's fun. But more than that, Robbie, let's talk about what we settled on Friday, and that is the second annual Thunder and Lightning Summer Catfish Tour, brought to you by Superior Catfish, is a go. We are back. And we want your help this time, all right? A lot of you guys last year were telling you should have come here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you help us. We want to get some stops. So send us your favorite places. But they have to sell Superior Catfish. So I'm going to provide you a very simple process here, Robbie. This is very simple. Before you tweet at us and say, come to this place, find out they sell Superior Catfish. And if they don't, don't waste anybody's time, including your own. But if they
I think that important fact has been missed by literally everyone. So, but I don't know if it has or not, because I tweeted the thing the other day and people gave us some spots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't done my research on it yet. We'll obviously put that out there.
You do the research. Make a phone call. It's one phone call away. You call the restaurant. Hey, you guys sell catfish. What brand catfish do you sell? And if they don't say Superior, just say thank you and move on. If they do say Superior, thank you and move on. And then let us know. Simple as that.
Yeah, we're going to have to check some of these places out. Or you could help us out, folks.
Help us out. So tweet at me and Robbie with your favorite places if they sell Superior Catfish. We've got a couple of spots already lined up. We'll let you know what those are very soon, and we hope to have the whole tour. Instead of doing it week to week like we did last year and trying to piece it together, I hope this year we will let you know all of our stops ahead of time, so that if you'd like to join us, you can plan to do so. We'll let you know very, very soon. But we are excited to be partnered with Superior Catfish again and doing the catfish tour, and bring in some great publicity to some of our local restaurants here in the state of Mississippi. All right, guys. Have a great Sunday night, Monday morning. We'll talk to you again very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.